My maiden name is Nockman, Sarah Nockman. I'm originally from Sydney, Australia, and I've been living in Tel Aviv, in Israel, for the last 10 years. I'm known as Sarah Vanunu in English, and in Hebrew it's Sarah Va'anunu.
Well, Sarah Nockman, you were born in Sydney, Australian parents. Tell us about your upbringing, childhood. Where did you go to school?
Well, I went to Moriah College for my high school and Mount Sinai College for my primary school. We grew up in the eastern suburbs, my brother and I. I have a brother, 5 years older than me, Alex Nockman. I had a pretty normal childhood, I can say, a very lucky childhood. My mom is Eastern European. After I finished school, I went to do my university degree at UNSW in media and communications. And then there was this new thing around called Birthright. I had never been to Israel before. I'd learned about it all my life. When I was 21.
Was that your introduction to Israel, your Birthright program?
Yes.
And did you meet your husband at that trip?
Like most Australians, you know, it's not really worth the 10 days or 2 weeks once you get over the jet lag. So we all extended our stays, nearly all of us on the program. And that allowed me to travel around and see. I've got some family in Ashdod from my mother's side. So I was traveling on my own after the program finished. And I did meet my husband, or my husband-to-be back then. He's a jazz musician, Eli Vanunu. And he plays saxophone, and I met him at a bar, as you do, in Jerusalem. And it was a whirlwind romance, and after 8 days from meeting, he proposed, and I said yes.
He proposed to you 8 days after you met?
Correct. Yes, wow. I came back again.
And did you accept? Obviously you did.
We always say, what was crazier, the fact that he would dare to propose to someone after 8 days, or that I said yes?
You must have said yes, because you're still married to Eli Vanunu.
This was 12 years ago. Yes, still married.
What did your parents say?
They died a little. they were in shock. It took a little while for them to warm to the idea. I was aware how crazy it sounded. I mean, I was 21. After he proposed, 2 days later, I had to fly home and finish my degree. So there were 5 months that passed where I was in Sydney and he was finishing his degree in Jerusalem at the Academy of Music. And during that time, this was before WhatsApp and before smartphones, and he was sending old-fashioned love letters, you know, in the mail and flowers. And my mum could see that there's a pretty romantic guy here, and he'd be calling every second day. And then 5 months passed, and then he finished what he had to do, and he came to Australia, where we lived together for a year. And my parents warmed him very quickly, because everything was fine in the end.
I can see that. You've got children now.
I've got two kids. One is in first grade. He's turning 7 next month. And the other one is in kindergarten. He just turned 3.
And you were also in the news in Australia, because I read in the Jewish news that you sent your children to an Arabic-speaking kindergarten in Yafo, in Jaffa. This is quite unusual.
I'm aware that it's unusual. It's not both children, actually. It was the second one, the youngest one. I was quite unimpressed with the first one's kindergarten. I live in Tel Aviv, as I mentioned, and everything is very expensive here. And the kindergartens are often run by young girls. I was looking for something a bit different. It was recommended to us by several people. It was in Jaffa. We live in Florentine, which is only about 10 minutes away from Jaffa. We went to check it out. But it's a mixed kindergarten, and so they celebrate everything, you know, all festivals, all holidays, a mixture of children. And I really liked what I saw. It was half price to what I paid for my other son, but it wasn't the factor. It was more the feeling that we got there, that the fact that the convenience, there was parking, they were friendly, they were warm. The Arabic, it wasn't an issue. To me, it was a bonus. He gets another language out of it.
What was the reaction of your friends, the Israelis? Because this is unheard that Israelis will send their children to Arabic-speaking kindergarten.
They were very surprised and shocked. There's tension in Israel, and we know that it's not the done thing to do. The biggest shock, I guess, or surprise, came from my husband's family. They're Moroccan. You know, they came from Morocco, from persecution from Arabs there, to Israel, and to think that they're, you know, my mother-in-law couldn't get over that her grandson is being brought up in an Arabic-speaking kindergarten.
And did you make friends with the parents?
They all spoke Arabic. We were really, my kid was the only Jewish kid there. They spoke Hebrew to me for my sake. No, I can't say that I made friends with many. With one, I'm still in touch. But no, not really.
Do you think there's still barriers in Israel between Israeli and Arabs? Although Jaffa is a very multicultural city, you sent your child to an Arabic-speaking kindergarten, and you said that he was the only Jewish child there. They were all Christians and Muslims, but yet Correct. You didn't make friends there. Do you think it's still there is this barrier between Jews and Arabs? What was your conclusion from that experience?
I'll tell you one experience that I had there which made me think that I'm really not so different than here. It was during the Chag Eitan. It was the war we had in summer here about 2 years ago, where there were rockets, you know, missiles falling over Tel Aviv, and we had the Iron Dome system in place. And it was the first week that it had started. I turned up in the afternoon to pick him up exactly when a siren started. So I quickly ran inside the kindergarten where I knew there was a safe place. At that moment, I really saw that I was the only Jewish person in the room other than my son. They're Christians, they're Muslims, but we all have the same worries, the same fears, the same hopes. At the end of the day, we just want to get on with our lives happily. So when I say I didn't make good friends with the parents at the kindergarten, I mean that I don't invite them over to my place for Shabbat dinner. But if I bump into them in the street, of course, you know, we'll stop and have a nice chat.
Coming from Australia to Israel, what was the biggest cultural shock that you have?
The mentality here is very different. There is a culture shock, clearly. The mentality here is everyone feels entitled to say what's on their heart, what's on their mind. So people are very forthcoming with advice can be, you know, interpreted as offering their advice or telling you what to do. What's your name? Where do you come from? Are you Jewish? Where do you live? How much do you pay rent? You know, all in the space of a minute, those questions can be asked here. And it's totally normal and okay because people feel close. So that took a while to get used to.
And do you feel Israeli now?
I don't think I will ever feel totally Israeli. I still find myself at the end of lines all the time. I will never ask someone how much they earn, whether they're Jewish, how much they pay rent. So there are certain aspects that I will never see myself as Israeli. But when I come to Australia, more and more my brother will say, oh, you're so Israeli. So I'm constantly reminded that I've become more Israeli.
Sarah Venunu, thank you so much for talking to us.